I invite you now to open the scriptures to the first chapter of the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, and we will be looking together through the Gospel of John in the course of the message today. So if you open to chapter 1 of John, you will be ready as that portion of the message comes. What is the one thing that we must learn from the COVID-19 pandemic? That is the subject of our message today. What is the one thing we must learn, if nothing else, from the COVID-19 pandemic? And in answer to that question, I tell you, we must learn that we dare not trust the word of man, nor lean upon our own understanding. But in all of our ways, we must acknowledge God as the sole source of truth, and his word, the scripture, as the only inerrant word. What have we heard from the experts? The name Dr. Anthony Fauci has become a household word in this age, as I'm sure all of you have seen him in news clippings, news footage from the coronavirus briefings that the White House for some time was holding every day. And Dr. Fauci, a man of great learning and great reputation for his learning, has become something of the face of scientific experts of the age, something of the embodiment of experts. And so I ask the question, what have we heard from the experts? We are told that this virus originated in a wet market in Wuhan, China, that it came from bats which were being sold for food at that market. But subsequent reports disputed that finding. Some suggest that the virus has come from a research lab in Wuhan, China, and a later report alleged that it originated months earlier in a region to the south of Wuhan. Suspicions have arisen that it is an organism developed for biological warfare, which inattentive security detail allowed to escape from the lab, and thus it has infected humanity. And more conspiratorial thinkers suspect that it is an intentional act of war, that it is a dry run, so to speak, to see how America will react and respond to such things in part of an ongoing plan eventually to destroy our country. And some Chinese authorities have suggested that the virus actually began in the United States. With all of these opinions, and there are many more, who do you believe? What do you believe? Not only in the area of the origin of this illness, but the projections concerning its dangers are just as unreliable. At first, government health experts, who were affirmed by our president, said the risk was very low, that we were prepared to deal with whatever came. Not long thereafter, widespread outcry proclaimed that we are not prepared, that there were insufficient ventilators, too little personal protection equipment. Now reports are that there are more ventilators than we need. Thankfully, the fears that the hospitals would be overrun were not materialized, and in fact, I understand now that hospitals in many instances are well below capacity as they have not taken in other patients in order to reserve beds for coronavirus victims. Who do we believe? What do we believe? What is truth in all of this? And then, on another matter, we were told that there would be from 100,000 to 200,000 deaths resulting nationally from this pandemic. And then that was revised downwards, and the report was that there would be 60,000 deaths by the end of this coming summer in August. Well, as of 8 a.m. this morning, May the 3rd, there were already 66,441 reported deaths. If that is, we can believe that report. And the revised estimate now is that there will be 100,000 deaths by late summer. Whom do we believe? What do we believe? And crowning all of this misinformation come the politicians and the news media, who have stated and misstated information that was erroneous already and employed it for their own political agenda to get their own advantage, thus perverting it more so. And the mass media, which exists, we would be told, to provide news, information, facts, has in fact been the megaphone to amplify the errors to an entire nation, conveniently reporting that which serves its political and ideological agenda rather than serving the interest of facts. Who do we believe? What do we believe in the midst of all of this? A most conspicuous lesson to be learned from the coronavirus is this: man is totally unreliable and incapable of handling truth. Or to put it in an ancient and very biblical terminology, yea, let God be true and every man a liar. Many conspiracy theories, which I already mentioned earlier in the service, have arisen. And I tell you, I'm not persuaded by conspiracy theories. They all seem to rely upon the idea that man can actually plan the future and then can bring the future in line with his plans, in spite of the fact that the scripture warns us, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Yet I fear so many times professed Christians have been especially susceptible to these kind of conspiracy theories, all of which exclude the fact that God rules in sovereign might over all things, working all things after the counsel of his own will, and that man is utterly incapable of controlling what happens the next minute, let alone the next decade or century. But rejecting conspiracy theories on that basis, yet let us make no mistake. There is a conspiracy underway. One which began before time began and will be brought to total failure when time is no more. There is a titanic spiritual struggle which began with Lucifer's rebellion against God and continues today. Lucifer, Satan, the devil continues his doomed campaign against Almighty God. Both the coronavirus, with all of the suffering and death that it brings, and our inability to ascertain what is exactly true with regard to it, as well as the extreme conditions we are enduring, all of these are manifestations of a conspiracy of death, destruction, and deceit that began when Lucifer said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And that conspiracy we've read already today, Satan brought to earth when he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And what we see here is that the tactic of Satan's conspiracy against God is one of questioning and discarding God's word. "Yea, hath God said?" The questioning of the word of God. And then the perverting of the word, the setting it aside. "God did not say this for your good, but rather for his own selfish interests." Therefore, the unspoken message is, ignore what God has said. Ignore the word of God. The deceiver, who could not usurp God, focused upon destroying that creature created in the image of God, thus bringing deception and death to mankind. The coronavirus, an example before all of our eyes of that very thing. And so the death, disease, and dearth of reliable reporting is simply an extension of this satanic conspiracy to usurp the throne of God. And it will fail eternally. But until then, we find the scripture describing Satan in these terms. He is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The Apostle John, by the Spirit of God, adds to that understanding that the whole world lieth in the wicked one. And so we find that the satanic is very much at work in this world under natural circumstances. And the Apostle Paul wrote that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And so all of what I've said thus far brings us to this statement. Listen carefully. Scientific discoveries of the past 2 centuries have improved immeasurably the health and lives of humanity. Let us thank God for it. But these discoveries have also fueled the deception that science has the answer to man's problems and questions. The coronavirus epidemic has shown us that the experts in science and medical research do not have all of the truth, and their proven research techniques are not fully reliable. Thus, both they and their methods are fallible. And this is a fact of which an entire nation and world needs to be reminded, and in God's providence, it is being put on display for all to see. The scientific world, hear me, that has brought us so much good, has also cultivated a God complex. Scientists are the priests of a new religion. They tell us where we came from and how we got here, Darwinian evolution. And they tell us where we're going, climate change. The mass media, populated by people who are materialists, meaning they live as if matter is all that exists. There is no spirit world. There is no God. Just the here and now, matter materialists. The media materialists and political leftists have devoted themselves to the master of science. Hence, you will hear Nancy Pelosi say in a thinly veiled attack upon the president, we're going to trust science and take science or go where science takes us. And the effort of the media and the left is to portray anyone who doesn't agree with them as being anti-science, because science has become the new god to them. And so mass media materialists and political leftists have devoted themselves to this new master and to convincing the public that science is a god, that the true god is nothing more than a mental construct that has been created in the minds of men at this stage of human evolution. Soon, they imagine, the accumulation of learning within humanity will enable us to evolve beyond reliance on the God crutch, and man will evolve beyond this delusion. That is the spirit of the age. That is what's being displayed and what is behind so much of the jumbled, confused information, the garbled verbiage and verbal garbage that is sent our direction in this age of deception. Scripture, by the way, speaks much concerning this. Listen to these passages. As Isaiah, the mouthpiece for the Almighty, wrote, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among people, this people. Even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Jeremiah the prophet wrote, the wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? The Apostle Paul wrote, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We read in the Psalm 111, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all that do his commandments. And in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. And again in Proverbs 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And so we've read from the scripture this morning in 2 Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we are speaking to the fact that the coronavirus exhibits the great frailty of man, not just in physical matters, but in the handling of truth. The fact that man cannot handle truth, and that man cannot be trusted, only the word of God can be trusted. Let us learn that in the midst of this pandemic as we've never learned it before. And thus all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The literal wording there, it is God breathed. God himself has breathed forth his truth through men of old, by whom it was recorded in written form. All scripture is God-breathed, and thus every element of it is beneficial, is reliable, is to be trusted. So it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And the Apostle Peter, moved by the Spirit of God, wrote concerning the scriptures of old and said, it did not come by the will of man. Rather, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Get the picture of the ancient ship on the sea with many tons and its sails unfurled, and the wind comes and moves it along. So the holy men of God were borne along by the Spirit of God, the breath of God, as God breathed forth his word. And therefore the scripture, the word of God, is the inerrant and infallible and only trustworthy literature of all humanity. Let God be true, and every man a liar. And this should be recognized in this day when we have been so bombarded with misinformation. It is of God to show us that we do not trust the ways of men, but we trust the word of God and none other. And so if we will look together at John chapter 1, I want us to consider some of what John says concerning the word of God. And he begins in the very first verse of the first chapter to say, in the beginning was the word. Now, as he speaks about this one who is the word, he is speaking about a person whom he says was with God in the beginning, and was not only with God but was God, and all things were made by him, the first three verses of John 1. And so this one whom he calls the Word is God, is with God, and has made all things. And in verse number 14 of chapter 1, he continues and says, and the Word was made flesh. And we know that he is speaking here of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, who became human flesh, who was the Word in the beginning, who was the Word with God, who was the Word who is God, who made all things. This one who is the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And John says, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, and then do not miss the last statement, full of grace and truth. And so what we have here is the Word of God, Jesus Christ, and truth, all three bound together in one. He is God. He is God's revelation of himself to man. He is the truth of God. He is the word of God. If you want to know God, you go to Christ. And going to Christ, you find he is full of grace and truth. Here is where truth is to be found, and in no other place. In Christ, who is inseparable from the written word of God. God has revealed himself by his word. His word appears in a written form, the Holy Scripture, all scripture given by inspiration of God. And his word appeared in a fleshly form, Christ, the eternal Word, made flesh among us. And anyone who will ever know God, anyone who will ever know absolute, eternal, infallible, and inerrant truth will find it only in Christ, the living Word, and Christ, the written Word. There is where we go for truth, and that is what we need to recognize as God has given us such a profound and nationwide demonstration of the erroneous ways of man. And in the erroneous ways of man, we see that satanic conspiracy roiling and boiling to its own end. But we turn unto Scripture and we find the one who will be the triumph over all of it in Christ, the living Word, by the written Word of God. And as John described this, he continued in chapter 1 of the book of John at verse number 17 to say, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." This is not to say that the law that was given by Moses was not truth. It was. We look to the Ten Commandments, we look to the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, and we are looking at the Word of God. But the manifestation of divine saving grace was not known there as it is known in Christ. For when Christ came as the fulfillment of the Old Testament law, he was also the manifestation of the salvation of which the law had foretold. And thus Christ's coming was full of grace and truth. We go to chapter 4 of the Gospel of John, where Jesus has entered into Sychar in the Samaritan region of the land that we call Israel, and has encountered there on Jacob's well a woman who is a sin-stained woman, to say the least. And as Jesus speaks to her, he says to her in verse number 23, "The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." And in verse 24 continued, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Here we have once again Christ proclaiming that truth is inseparable from God the Father. And we worship him by way of embracing the truth which he has revealed to us. And we worship him not with regard to physical objects. In the woman's case to whom he spoke, it was the Mount Gerizim where the Samaritans said you were to worship. Christ responds and says, no, worship of God is not tied to a location or to an image or to a relic or some other item. We worship spirit to spirit, the spirit of man to the spirit of God. And the truth is why we worship. It is the truth that informs our worship. It is the truth that enables our worship. And this is indeed the truth that comes from the Word of God. In chapter 5 and verse 33, Jesus said, "Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth." What was John the Baptist's witness? Well, he proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He told of Christ who was coming and said, "He that cometh after me is preferred before me." But he could not announce the coming of Christ without therein and thereby announcing the truth. For Christ is the truth. He is its embodiment. And we read further in the 8th chapter where he said to his enemies in verse 32, "Who despise him and will reject his word, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We are somewhat imprisoned, aren't we, in our homes, unable to go out as we normally would, minimal opportunities to be outside of the home, and our homes have become something of a prison in some cases. Freedom, where is freedom? Well, freedom ultimately is in the truth of God's word. The freedom that Christ speaks of here in John chapter 8 is freedom from the bondage of sin, of its corruption, and of its penalty. And you know it by the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And indeed, even those who are imprisoned, as we've read the records of martyrs in past years, have had a liberty that could not be taken away by the shackles or the bars of a prison. And it is the liberty that truth of Christ brings to the soul. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. God's law, God's word, that is our liberation. You feel shut in by the coronavirus. You feel that your ways are curtailed. Well, maybe they are. And maybe for the good, get your Bible and go aside with the Word of God. And in prayerful reading of the Word, engage with God as you never have before. And you will find a liberation of spirit of which the Spirit of God here speaks in Scripture, of which Christ himself speaks. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And all of us know that text from the night of Christ's betrayal, when he in the upper room with his disciples said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's in chapter 14 of John, in verse number 6. And there he identified himself as the embodiment of truth. What is true? Christ is true. And thus we go to Christ and to his word in full confidence of faith that there and only there do we have truth. And this is the truth most needed in this day of rampant confusion, deception, politicization, and lies. And then in chapter 15 of John, Jesus tells of the coming of the Holy Spirit, that indeed when he has departed from this world, he will pray to the Father to send the Comforter. And when the Comforter, the Spirit of God, comes, Jesus said, when the Comforter is come, this is chapter 15 and verse 26, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now you stop for a minute and ask the question, if the Spirit is going to be the Spirit of truth, what other message could he have than to testify of Christ, who is the truth, the life? And in chapter 16, verse 13, Christ continues saying, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. There is a promise for us to take and heed. The Spirit of God has come. He came at Pentecost. He comes to the heart of every believer, and he does so to guide us unto all truth. Which would suggest that everything outside of that is tainted by lie, deception, by error, even honest error, as much of the misinformation we've received probably is. The Spirit of God alone takes us to Christ by the Scripture, and there we have truth. Thus, he is called the Spirit of truth. And in John chapter 17, our Lord prayed for his own, and his prayer in verse number 17 was, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And in the 19th verse of that same 17th chapter, again he says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself. For whose sakes? The sakes of those for whom he prays. All of his people, he prays for those that the Father has given him, and for their sakes he prays that they might be sanctified through the truth. It is the truth which sets us apart, holy unto God. That is the meaning of sanctify, to set apart, to make holy. And it comes by way of the truth of God's word. Let us learn in this day of deception and misinformation, the word of God, Christ, is the only source of reliable truth, inerrant and infallible. And so, consider several points of application, and that is the first. Scripture is the only source of absolute, infallible, irrefutable, and everlasting truth. And you know as well as I do that the whole political and media establishment of our age, the whole intellectual elite establishment in the various professions, whether it be in academia or in the scientific world, as we hear from Dr. Fauci, all of that system sets aside the scripture, which is the one and only source of trustworthiness, demonstrated trustworthy for millennia. But that is set aside as the whole world lies in the wicked one, as the prince of the power of the air has blinded the minds of them that believe not, as the god of this world blinds them. So the conspiracy that began when Satan rose against God continues, as he is the god of this world, and as this world is blinded to truth. And in the midst of this world stands the unfailing word of God, which presents to us Christ, the perfect word of God, and both are set aside for all the uncertainty and imprecision and deception of mankind. Scripture in that world is the only source of absolute, infallible, irrefutable, and everlasting truth. You can stand on the word of God. It will never fail you. It will never let you down. You may be the only one standing, and ridiculed and despised for standing, for they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But if you stand upon the word of God, you embrace it as the only truth, it will never, never, never fail you. All of the official outlets of truth in this day have failed us all. We just see it a little more conspicuously in the presence of the pandemic, but that is always the case. When has there not been a lying man in the White House, or in the Senate, or in Congress? Let God be true and every man a liar. The Scripture is our only source. Second, by way of application, Christ is the living word of God, inseparable from the written word. And one cannot know the written word except by knowing the living word. Nor can one know the living word without knowing the written word. Do you follow that? It is by the written word of God, Scripture, that we are brought to Christ. It is by Christ that we are brought to the Scripture. And each brings us to the other, reinforcing the truth to our hearts and comforting our souls and informing us of who God is and of who we are. And we come to Christ and the Scripture, where we have the infallible and inerrant truth of God given to us. The third thing to recognize is this. Only by the light of Christ and Scripture can the events of this age be understood. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, the writer says in the Psalms because of the Word of God. God, who authored the Word and sent His Son as the living Word, created this whole system. He knew of this COVID-19 virus before mankind knew there was such a thing as a virus. He knew the properties of that creature, whatever it may be. He sees it without a microscope. He knows its next move and mutation. He understands it all. Everything in this world system is known by God. Therefore, if we are to have any understanding of what is happening, it will be provided only by Scripture and our union with Christ. Let us go to the Word of God concerning everything. For there is the truth, there alone is that which will illumine the heart of God's people and give us understanding, and if not comprehensive academic understanding, which is what we've been getting and it's been wrong, it will give understanding that all is in the hand of God, who works all things after the counsel of His own will and will withhold no good thing from them that walk uprightly. And thus in the Word we find peace and rest, which brings us to another application, a fourth, and that is that God's people delight in truth and in the Word of God. The psalmist in the first psalm speaks about the one who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law doth he meditate day and night. He delights in the Word of God. And so the psalmist wrote, and may we be able to say with him, "Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day." And if we love the law of God, we live the law of God. Thus the law of God states, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." And so we love not only the truth that is revealed in God's Word, but truth among men. We would rather tell the truth than to be a deceiver. And this is a matter that continues to shock me as I see professing Christians, ministers of the gospel, leaders among ministers, who are willing to be dishonest, to intentionally misrepresent themselves or those whom they've chosen to be rivals with, and set forth lies, deceptions. I struggle to reconcile what I have seen in more than one occasion of professed believers who have no problem telling a lie, to reconcile that with the fact that Revelation 21 tells us that liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. God's people not only go to the Scripture as the one and only source of truth, but they love truth and they hate a lie, and they do not give themselves unto lying, misrepresentation of reality, deception. And then a fifth point of application, simply put, sinners hate truth. All communication among men that is true, if it favors them, they like that, yeah. But if it doesn't favor them, they hate it. They hate truth, and this stems from their hatred of the one who is true. And so once again to the Gospel of John, you needn't turn back to it, but in John chapter 3 at verse 21, Jesus said, "He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. But now ye seek," to the chapter 8, he says to his enemies, "but now ye seek to kill me, a man that had told you a truth, which I have heard of God." And the fact is that the enemies of Christ wanted him dead because he was a man telling truth, and truth concerning them. And so in the 8th chapter of John, he says to them, "Ye are of your father the devil." And here you have that satanic conspiracy playing out among the people living in the days of Christ, even as it plays out among the people living in these days. He said to the religious leaders, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the works of your father will ye do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him." Why is the world today a world of misinformation? Because it is in the evil one and there is no truth in him. Because he is the God of this world who has blinded the minds of them that believe not, and he is not about truth but about blindness and lies and deception. And Jesus said to them, "Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." In other words, his telling them the truth was enough motivation for them not to believe him. And perhaps one of the most tragic scenes of all is that which is set before us in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of John. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king, and to this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." And Pilate answers and says, "What is truth?" Standing before him was the ever-living embodiment of truth. And he's saying, "What is truth?" He was trying to find some of the truth there that night, as the religious leaders had come with accusation against Christ, and Pilate had examined Christ judicially and said, "I find no fault in him." And yet the religious leaders were proclaiming there was a fault in him. And there were witnesses that had come forth to witness against Christ, but Pilate could see that their witness did not agree. It was not consistent, that obviously they are not telling the truth. And he is searching for truth. Where is it? But he's searching among the enemies of God, who are part of the satanic conspiracy against God, who come only with lies. And truth stood embodied before him. Pilate proceeded and offered them Barabbas. And it is amazing to me in John 19:16 that it says that after Pilate had tried Christ and found no fault in him, and after he had seen the lies of those who came against Christ, and after he had asked the question as if genuine and sincere, "What is truth?" that he then delivered him therefore unto them to be crucified. He crucified truth. And that is what Satan did from the beginning. And that is the unbroken theme of the satanic conspiracy against God. And as Christ hung upon the cross, it was the satanic endeavor to kill truth. But truth cannot be killed, for God is its guardian, He is its preserver. It is embodied forever in Christ who lives forever as the way, the truth, and the life. The writer Paul in 2 Thessalonians wrote, "Then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth." Does not that suggest truth to us? "Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, the conspirator, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Those who do not receive the truth God has given, the Scripture and Christ, the embodiment of truth, because they refuse them, the passage continues, "For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." The COVID-19 pandemic has exhibited the absolute unreliability of the word of man. That unreliable nature of man's word is but the ongoing satanic conspiracy of the God of this world to deceive, to obstruct, to bring death and destruction. In the midst of all of that, from beginning to end, there is only one thing you can trust, and it is revealed to us in the Scripture and in Christ, the Word of God, written and living at the right hand of the throne of God. That is the one lesson to be learned above all else in the midst of this pandemic. And may every one of us be driven to the Word with a hunger for truth, with a desire that the truth be known, and with a steadfast confidence that the Word of God, written and living, is the only thing we can trust. Let God be true, and every man a liar. Let us bow together as we pray. O Lord our God, invigorate our slothful souls with the zeal for God manifest in a zeal for his word and his Son. And may the Son of God, who brings the light and life and truth of God to our hearts, rule mightily within us, and may we seek his dominion daily. And may we be taught by him that there is nothing worthy of trust except Christ and the Word of God. And might it be, O Lord, that you would bring a hearing soul unto that trust in Christ and the Word by hearing this truth proclaimed today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.